Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. My goodness. Another wonderful day at VFN Radio. I do want to give some shout-outs to Eddie Ed. Man, I'm looking forward to seeing you, and hopefully it will be tonight. Tonight, man. But Abe, you're an encourager. I want to give a shout-out to Pastor Maria, and of course, Christian, I've been thinking about you, man. Oh, my goodness. I hope you're holding it down there at Beach Haven and keeping them straight. But, man, you've been on my heart. Oh, my goodness. It is just so wonderful every single day to see how many are connecting with VFN Radio. And I don't get tired of sharing about all of those that are connecting with us as we're connecting with them. But I do want to give a shout-out to Roy and Tammy and CJ and Mark and Doris and Mary. Oh, my goodness. Lisa and Nethy and, gosh, on and on. It's so wonderful that you've just joined us on VFN Radio, and we want to thank you for being part of the conversation. We have so much encouragement for you today. We have God's news behind the news, and we're going to talk about today, in today's program, about one life, the one life that we've given. Just one, not two, not six.
Not multiple.
The one. The one life, and you're going to be encouraged. But fellas, a recent incident that just occurred. You may or may not believe this, but up here in New York in Long Island.
You didn't buy another iron, did you?
Excuse me? No. That wasn't funny, okay?
Oh, that was hilarious.
That was pretty good.
I'm sure Teresa straightened you up.
I was purchasing something very nice for my wife. It was a steamer. And, the guys up here, they actually found that quite funny, too. I don't know why I'm the only one that finds it funny. Okay? But that wasn't funny. However, what wasn't funny, actually here in New York, man, you guys listen to this. Someone broke into a church in a church building in Long Island. Wow. And they did this all the while the pastor Jankowski of Lamb Chapel was walking into his office. And when he walked in, the burglar was inside of his office.
Oh my goodness.
Office was trashed. I mean, all over the place, according to the Blaze. Mm-hmm. The guy was wearing a ski mask, rummaging through stuff. Now, this pastor was just in the middle, the 6'1", 250-pound pastor.
Oh, my goodness.
Was just in the middle of a fast, I believe a week-long fast when this happened.
Oh, my goodness.
Two things you don't want to do. You don't want to mess with a pastor who's hungry and a pastor who's been fasting, okay? That's just two things you don't want to do, okay? You don't want to do. That's not a good recipe for you, okay?
Mm-mm.
So they were both obviously startled, and the pastor reaches for the burglar and just kind of holds him down, calls 911, and the guy's trying to get loose.
Wow.
And, allegedly that the burglar was high on some sort of drugs or something, and
mm-hmm.
So he's holding him down, and he says, I don't know if the police are going to come or not. So he says, I just started holding him and start telling him, God loves you, man. God loves you. God loves you. And he's, you know, you don't have to do this type of stuff. And you know, God has a plan for your life, basically. And he's mm-hmm. just, this whole tussle, they broke through the glass and ended up on the sidewalk. Ended up on the sidewalk on the street. I mean, this was like,
this was a real deal, huh?
This was a real deal, man.
Wow.
And they were tussling and going back and forth. And how amazing, you know, he didn't lose it. The fast was working, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And just the love of God just started just coming out of this pastor, and he's wrestling with the guy going to end his life. He's like, I just want to die.
Wow.
And wanted to get free, and pastor's like, we don't want to let you go, but we, you know, we'll pray for you.
And yeah.
He laid hands on him. Hopefully we could talk about laying on of hands of impartation today, but he laid different hands on him.
Hands, not fists.
Yeah. he held different hands on him. He was holding them down, and he was able to pray for them. I mean, how cool is that? Too many burglars don't happen to have that type of encounter, but
no.
Man, you really got to be in dire straits to be trying to knock off a church building there, and
right.
It's like, what's up with that?
Wasn't real bright, was he?
Well, I mean, it's, man, drugs and all kinds of stuff just puts you out of your right place and out of your right mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so cool, man. It's so cool that of all things, he's holding on to him, holding on for dear life, holding him down. He's 6'1", and fasted. You know, he's got power, all kinds of power now. He's like,
oh, yeah.
And he's loving on this guy, saying, "You can make it. You can make it." And I just thought that was just too cool. You know, last week we talked about the earth swallowing up a man that was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a sinkhole, okay?
Right.
But when the sinkhole is not just underneath your house. Not in the hallway, not in the living room, not just in your bedroom, but under your bed. It's just things that make you go, You know what I'm saying? I mean, it went down 100 feet, and the man, they couldn't even find the man anymore. He was gone. I mean,
wow.
In your bed, they opened the room. They heard screaming, sounded like a car crash, the brother said.
Mm-hmm.
And this poor guy, they looked in the hole, and all they saw was a mattress. So all they saw was a mattress. And they buried him in there. He was buried by the earth. Well, you know, many people have said, you know, it's a freak accident, you know, or yeah, sinkholes do happen in Florida. It has never been known to swallow a person, you know, in a home or nothing like that. They said it's the first time they've, you know, reported. But, you know, many people have just chalked that up to, you know, things just happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the earth. And, you know, we talked about, you know, biblical proportion. Let's not rule out God here. You know what I'm saying? This has happened before. God has opened the earth before.
Yeah.
And swallowed Moses, up yeah. Korah and Korah's rebellion. What was mm-hmm. going on? Korah thought that he was going to tell God, Moses, appointed leader, what was going to happen. And the Korah found out that you don't rebel against God. And those that were running with Korah found out that's not going to happen. It's like, guys, I want you to take 5 steps back 1 second. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and zoom. All of them were swallowed up. God takes that serious, and we're not necessarily saying that, you know, this, we don't know the motives of this man's heart enough like that, nor are we trying to project that on this individual.
Mm-hmm.
So we think it's a tragedy what happened to him. But, you know, it happened. Well, would you believe that you would believe? But just yesterday, just the other day, it's been reported that a golfer, Mark Mahal, in Waterloo, Illinois, in Missouri, was in the middle of playing golf, and he was swallowed up while playing golf. Just
while he was playing.
With other friends. He was with other friends, not the other friends, but him alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he went down 18 feet.
Wow.
18 feet. Dude, I've jumped. We've jumped 20 foot before. Remember when we jumped off that tree? I mean, that was like.
That was serious.
Is the earth below me when we jumped into a.
a river.
This wasn't wise, okay? But
yeah.
We shared on VFN Radio this unwise thing that we did many, many years ago. But we were climbing on this tree down this river we're going down, and. We thought, oh, this is a cool thing to do. Crazy. And we jumped 20 feet off this tree into this huge lake, this huge river.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're falling, I mean, I've never jumped or fallen off of something where I'm wondering, okay, when am I going to land?
You know, I've fallen out of things that high.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Like a tree in my backyard when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, not me. But it's just that weird feeling that you have, that rush. You imagine falling 20 feet in the dirt, not telling what you're banging up. I want you to listen to this Fox 5, this Fox just update. And quality is not the best, but I really want you to listen to just what happened here.
Every golf golfer knows you should avoid sand traps and water hazards and sinkholes on the course. A man now nursing a dislocated shoulder after the fairway opened up beneath him. Here's a picture of the hole happened on a course outside Waterloo, Illinois, not far from St. Louis, Missouri. It may not look like much of a thing from the surface, but the man who fell in the hole says it's about 18 feet deep in there. His buddies had to use a 12-foot ladder and some rope to help him get out. Sinkholes are no joke, obviously. You may recall a little more than a week ago, a naturally occurring sinkhole opened up near Tampa and killed a man after it swallowed his entire bedroom. Trace Gallagher has this live tonight. Where was he on the golf course when the ground just caved in?
Yeah, he was on the 14th fairway, Shep, and he says that he was walking over to check a yardage marker for one of his playing partners, and the ground got very soft, and then all of a sudden the ground just kind of collapsed below him. He says it felt like he was falling for a very long time, saying, and I'm quoting here, the real scary part was, I didn't know when I would hit bottom and what I would land on. Luckily, he hit a muddy bottom 18 feet down, but a local geologist says the ground apparently...
And how amazing is that? 18 feet, wow. And didn't even know what he was going to land on.
Dude, that's a small hole. I mean, as far as diameter-wise.
It just looks like it just, I mean, it seems like the hole was just big enough just to take him, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And you wouldn't have these pictures available for you on the torch, but it looks like two of these guys are leaning, they're laying on their bellies, which I don't know, but they're laying on their bellies trying to get as close to the hole as possible. Mm-hmm. And they're looking down, and he dislocated his shoulder. Mm-hmm. So here he is, the earth opens up underneath him. He falls 18 feet waiting to land. Mm-hmm. He dislocates his shoulder, and what's running through his mind is, oh my goodness, this happened to the guy in Florida, and they couldn't find him.
Yeah.
So his friends that were there, who were not swallowed up, by the way, they get a 12-foot ladder. What was running through this man's mind while they were going off of a golf course? Now, if you've been on the golf course, it's like one huge park. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they left for wherever they were playing to go wherever to get this 12-foot ladder to bring it back to the hole. Mm-hmm. What this man was thinking while he was down there, at any moment, these walls can cave in. At any moment, I can go down 50, 100 feet.
Or keep going, yeah.
Keep going. And they stick a ladder down. And with rope, they were able to pull him. He couldn't even pull himself out. His shoulder was dislocated.
Mm.
And you think about, my goodness. I mean, this is not like coincidence. Uh-uh. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. You know, with scriptures, we wonder why sometimes things happen to certain people. When we see that in the Bible and it's to warn us.
Yeah.
It's to warn us. It's to be aware of what's happening so that we, we can take warning, so that we can be alerted, so that we can wake up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're sharing this on VFN Radio. It's like, you know what? Things happen, and so many times people write them off. Oh, that'll never happen, or this freak accident, or...
That'll happen, or could happen to me, yeah.
Could you believe my luck? And we do have a segment on VFN Radio on the torch called Does Misfortune Follow? Does misfortune follow people? It's kind of trying to find the right title for you, but type in misfortune. And the question is yes. We're not necessarily saying that, again, we're not pronouncing anything on this man because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do we, pretend to know. But we're just saying, my goodness, I mean, a wise man looks at that and says, Lord, do I need to search my heart for anything? Do I, I don't want to end up, in a situation like that.
Exactly.
And a wise man just takes a look at everything and says, let's evaluate my life. Let's evaluate what's going on, because the earth opened 18 feet.
Mm.
It's called Does Misfortune Follow Some People? And some people just have misfortune following them because they're just doing the wrong thing. It's not like, oh, I just had bad luck, or why does bad luck happen to me? Well, what are you doing? What are you attaching yourself to? if you put the place, put yourself in the place of evil, if you put yourself in the place where, you know, God's blessing and favor and protection, you know, there's protection for those that are with the Lord and under,
right,
you know, his wings. Mm-hmm. I like to, you know, share this analogy that I often share. And that's, you know, if I'm walking with my children or parents walking with their kids and they're crossing a busy intersection, a busy street, and there's cars going, you know, back and forth, and you tell a small child, you know, hold my hand now, don't you let go, hold my hand. And if you're in a bigger city, you can really relate to this, but, you know, any road, you're walking across the street with your child,
yeah,
and there's a lot of cars, and if the child removes his hand from your hand and literally just shoves your hand loose from him and runs out in the middle of the street and gets hit by a car, you didn't push your child in the street. Under that scenario, that child took your hand and snatched his hand off of yours and ran off to do what he wanted to do. And what did he do? The child would have put himself in harm's way. He would have put himself in a place that he had no business going outside of the protection of the parent.
Right.
And oftentimes, how ridiculous would it be for that child to say, oh, my parent did this to me. My parent pushed me in there. And if it wasn't for my... Well, wait a second. They didn't push... Under this scenario, the child into the street, the child took off on his own. And how many times did things happen in people's life where they're so quick to say that God did this or, you know, why does bad luck happen to me? But they fail to look inwardly and they fail to recognize that maybe I just brought this on myself.
Right. Well, that's why the Bible says you will reap what you sow. I mean, come on.
That's good or bad.
Yeah, good or bad.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
We will reap it. And sometimes I think that folks feel that, you know, if I admit that I'm wrong, then it, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I really don't know. But it really takes a wise person. I think that people feel like they lose some sort of face or credibility when they fail to admit that they did something wrong. As long as I don't admit it, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I still deny it. That was not me. That was not my jacket, my Mets jacket. That was not that was not me in the Saints shirt. No, you know, that somehow there, you know, it didn't exist. But you raise, you know, you're I don't know. You rise up, I guess what I'm trying to say, in other people's eyes when you're able to look at a situation and you own up to your mistake and you say, you know what, that was me. You know, that I did that. I did that. And Lord, you know, I confess that as sin or a mistake or not using wisdom, whatever the case may be. And I repent from it. I want to learn from this. The Bible says that a righteous man falls seven times, yet he gets up.
Yeah. Exactly.
So falling down is not the end of the world. Things will happen. The question is, what do you do? How do you respond to the failure? How do you respond to the setback? How do you respond to the situation that happened in your life? Do you take ownership for it? Do you sweep it under the rug? Or do you start looking in the mirror and saying, God, you know, through your grace, I want the truth. I want to deal with what's reality, with what is real. What is real? What happened here? Just the facts, right? Just the facts. And move from a position of reality, void from any kind of emotion or anything else, and just say, Lord, what's real? And trust in God's, you know, love for you, that there's nothing that we could do that could separate us from the love of God. And if you miss it on the torch, look for God stuck on you, the binding power of God's love. He's stuck on you. He loves you. Mm-hmm. And when you have a revelation of his love, you can clearly look at errors and failures and mistakes and say, you know what, God? That was me. I did that, and I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to give me the grace and the empowerment not to do that thing again. I want to learn from this. I want to use wisdom. And the situation with two men falling in the earth opening up underneath them. I mean, and what's remarkable to me is the exact locations. I mean, when you see this picture, you're going to see a hole that it's like literally the size of maybe someone's body. I mean, just it's not like this huge 10-foot wide hole. I mean, maybe 2 feet.
It's maybe 2 feet at most, at the widest point.
Think about it. And it's just like it right underneath his feet. It just seemed to open up. And it's for us to look at our lives and say, you know, Lord, you know, what's going on with me? You know, look inwardly and just to evaluate our life and say, what if that was my last moment? You know, I'm sure that that man in there, I'm sure that he stuck 18 feet in the ground waiting. I mean, those were probably the longest minutes of his life waiting for his friends to bring him a ladder, to bring him a ladder to rescue him and pull him out. Let me tell you something. I bet he was evaluating every part of his life. Maybe you're right now stuck in a hole. Maybe right now you have a situation in your life where the bottom has fallen and you're in a spiritual sinkhole and you're stuck and you're wondering, could it get any worse? Is it over for me? I'm down. I'm out. This is over. Can anyone rescue me? And I want to tell you that God's arm is not too short. Mm-mm. That he'll reach down into the depth of your brokenness, of your sin, of your mess, of the bottomness of where you're at, and he'll pull you out if you cry out to him. Cry out to God. He'll rescue you every time. We'll be right back.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. And we were just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. is there something we prayed for a long time? You know, we prayed for a long time. And part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point. It's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace. I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions, but I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And let you put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter. is that you know your gods. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is a prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
Wow. I mean, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. VFNU.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And if you're just joining in with us today, and you missed the first part of the program, we were talking about, of course, the pastor that was able to wrestle down the burglar that broke into his office and pray for him, which was amazing. He was on a fast. And we talked about earth opening up underneath not just one man, but on two men, and making it national news. Just recently, a golfer in Illinois was swallowed up under the ground, 18 feet straight down, and by the grace and the mercy of God alone, they were able to rescue him and pull him out. And we've been talking about, you know, this is for us just to take notice. This is for us to be watchful, prayerful, and to look inwardly. Look inwardly. Lord, where am I? If that was me, how, you know, Where am I in my life with you? Would I have any regrets? Am I in the right place with you? And then we you know, you could be in that situation today. You could be in a spiritual sinkhole, stuck, and you don't know at any moment if these walls are going to cave on in and take you out because of the situation that you're facing. Well, let me tell you, God can reach out to you. God can save you, but you got to cry out. You got to acknowledge God. I mean, listen, Jonah was in the belly of a whale. It was over for him, three long days, but he repented and God allowed that whale to spit him straight out of his mouth. God will expel you. God will push you out of that hole that you're in today, but you got to come to God. You got to come to God, and you can't blame God for the hole. You got to look at yourself. How did you get yourself in there? What happened? And when we take personal responsibility before the Lord, and we're at, you know, if it was our fault and our situation that brought us into that, into a captivity, into a hole, then we can ask the Lord to forgive us, and he always does. That's the most beautiful and amazing thing about the Lord, is that his forgiveness never runs dry. It never stops. His love is unfailing. And to that, all I can say is yes, yes, more Lord, amen. You know, what else can you say? Thank you, Jesus.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Well, you know, guys, in God's news behind the news, as we continue, I want to share about a recent poll that was taken from the Pew Research. And what they did was started polling the reason why, you know, gun owners. And what they found is that American gun owners are increasingly keeping their firearms for protection instead of hunting. Mm-hmm. I mean, for many years, people say, well, you know, a lot of gun owners in America, they love to hunt, and that's why we have them all. But right now, they found that among gun owners, 48% said that they own a firearm for protection, while 32% said they own a firearm mainly for hunting purposes. Okay. Now that's actually a huge shift from what people were saying back in 1999. In 1999, they said that only 26% that were surveyed said that they owned a gun for protection, and that 49% were mainly using it for hunting. And so it's almost kind of flipped. It almost shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're seeing is, I believe, a sign of the times. A sign of the times. You know, people are arming themselves. They want to be protected. They believe in their Second Amendment right. And they're seeing what's happening all around this country. They're seeing what is happening, the lawlessness that is happening. And they're saying, you know what? I have this right afforded to me in the Constitution, and I need to defend myself. I need to defend my family, and it's okay. Especially when you have a sheriff like the sheriff in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
that his job is to protect and to serve. That's his job, to protect. I mean, they have police for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Things happen.
Yeah.
And his job is to protect and to serve. And this sheriff, David Clark, who is the sheriff in Wisconsin, which, I mean, it's a 600,000 people population. This is not like, you know, 10,000 people live here. It's mm-hmm. 600,000 people that live in Wisconsin. And he says that he did a commercial, a 30-second commercial, warning his citizens. And this is what he said in his commercial. You can beg for mercy from a violent criminal, hide under the bed, or you can fight back. However, consider taking a certified safety course in handling a firearm so that you can defend yourself until we get there.
Mm.
He says, I need you to get in the game, is what he said in the ad. I need you to get in the game. And this is a sheriff saying, listen, you got to arm yourself. You know, you have some choices. You can beg for mercy if someone breaks in your house. You can, you know, hide under your bed, get in the closet, or you can fight back and protect yourself until we arrive. Until we arrive. And you also have news that we've reported and shared here on VFN Radio about what the Detroit police literally put out so that people visiting, tourists, they've warned tourists, said enter Detroit at your own risk. They've had to lay off so many police officers that they had to warn people from coming into the city. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Here, enter Detroit at your own risk. You have California, a city in California, that their city council said the same thing that this sheriff is saying. Listen, you need to arm yourself. You need to protect yourself because we just don't have the responders. We don't have the police, you know, to be able to get out to you when you need them. And then you have the city of Camden, New Jersey. I mean, it's like connect the dots. I mean, okay, 1, 2, 3. And this is what's just, you know, what we know right now. We don't know what's on the horizon, but Camden, New Jersey had to lay off over 200 police officers in their city now. And it has been known over the years as a high murder, you know, crime area.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had to go to a county base police off, you know, policing instead of a city base.
Right.
And it's not good. I mean, they couldn't afford their union police officers that they had. So they had to go to non-union. And so, you know, I can see where people are exercising their Second Amendment right. They're saying, I have a right not only to own a gun for hunting, but they're saying that, you know what, I have a Second Amendment right that says I can defend myself and I can possess a gun for protection purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that there's a lot of, you know, opinions on both sides, but I don't think that we do away with the Constitution.
Right.
I don't think that we do away with the Second Amendment that was placed in there in our Bill of Rights. I mean, think about it. There are not that many constitutional amendments in the whole Constitution.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Every one of them is absolutely significant and important. Every one of them. And what you're seeing is an attempt of people that want to take guns away, politicians that want to take away from the citizens, and then you have well-meaning people that are just scared.
Right.
That are just scared. And my concern that if the more scared we become as a nation, the more rights we're going to give up.
That's
it's
right.
Like, oh, we're just terrified. We're terrified. We're terrified. And government, some put all these controls on people. And what you do is when you try to put ban on guns and then lead to handguns and all this type of stuff, is that you empower the criminal. I mean, does anyone actually really believe? This is the question. I mean, this is very simple. This is simple reasoning here. Does anyone actually believe that the local criminal goes into the local gun store and buys a gun?
Right.
I mean, New York has one of the most strictest gun laws in the entire nation, even before this gun law had passed from the Governor Cuomo, and yet and still, there's illegal guns all over the place. Criminals are getting their hands on you, knowing that I believe if they commit a crime with a gun, you automatically get 10 years. I think in the state of New Jersey, automatically.
Yeah.
And knowing that type of penalty, knowing what awaits them, it does not curb any kind of violence. We've shared on VFN Radio, and we did it on last week about Second Amendment, and we talked about all the different statistics that were happening, gun laws that were passed in different cities like Chicago and Washington, D.C. And we saw that those statistics didn't affect, those gun laws did not affect the actual city's crime. In fact, with more strict gun laws, the homicide and the murder rate was in some cases 3 to 4 times higher in those cities and in the national average.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I saw something on Facebook that someone said, they put some sort of picture of a bad guy breaking in a home. And the caption read, when this guy comes into your home at night, you're going to do two things. You're going to call someone that has a gun to come get him. And you're going to pray to God that the one you call, the police, gets there quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think rethink this. I think that we, this is a very great conversation that we're having, and it's absolutely okay to stand for the Second Amendment. I mean, there's some in the media. There are people on the opposite side that will try to demonize the fact that someone wants to hold the Second Amendment right. It's like, are you kidding me? It's, you know, saying, why would you try to demonize someone because they believe in the Constitution? And stand strong. Right. And we don't want to see any part of the Constitution, not the Second Amendment, not the Fourth Amendment, not the First Amendment, none of the amendments to go away. And in the extra hour, we're going to be sharing with you about the Fourth Amendment, about you know, we have a right not to be illegally searched and without a warrant.
Right.
And you talk about the drones that we've talked about and what's been happening, that, you know, with a camera in the sky of a plane, it can hover over your house, hover through your windows. I mean, it's like you have a right to privacy. And we're just seeing basically a plan, a strategy for the Constitution just to be just picked at piece by piece by piece. You take one leg off here, one leg off there, and before you know it, the whole thing just implodes. We have rights, and you want to stand for the Constitution. We'll be right back.
Could you imagine, you know, John G. Lake planted over 5,000 churches in Africa, over 5,000 churches. Mm-hmm. You know, people are getting saved, and within being saved for 30 days, 60 days, you know, 90 days, not only are they actually starting a church gathering, but they're actually starting church gathering, starting another church.
Right.
I mean, it just happens. You know, if we break loose from the flower pot, if we break loose from that thing that's retaining and just maxing out our roots. So listen, a vine is supposed to go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have a beautiful flower in a flower pot. I think of, you know, Charles Simpson in his book. Yeah, I think it's called Vines, Ants, Vines, and
flower pots.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And he talks about, you know, vines just meant to grow anywhere and to go anywhere. And Jesus said, I am the vine. Listen, we're supposed to preach the gospel to all, and then the end would come. We're not waiting for somebody to show up and preach it. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Imagine if you spend the next 10 years of your life just obeying God. Listen to Steve Hills. He talks about exactly what happens. You can get saved and get trained and get launched into the harvest field. Listen up.
And we lived in Argentina for years, and same thing. We would give an altar call. Someone would come forward, get saved. Next news you know, they've planted 3 churches. Blink your eyes. They've planted 10. Blink your eyes. And some North Americans down the road can't get anything off the ground.
Exactly right.
And I'm going, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the picture. Let me just ask a couple.
I want to say this. It's the hunger. We're going to have to get hunger. Yes, we could. You could go to India right now. You can go to China. As a matter of fact, they're asking for so many to come, But America, the American church is kind of like, we don't need anything, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no hunger. You know, God moves by hunger. If we get hungry, if we say, listen, I'm ready to get all this out of my life, that's not God. All I want is God. And I'm ready to go after God. Listen, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Listen, this is not a fairy tale. This is eternity. People every day are dying and going to hell. Every day, somebody, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's the guy that just installed your cable in your home, or maybe it's your appliance repair person, maybe it's your teacher, maybe it's your friend. I don't know, but are you telling them about Jesus? Have you break loose from that that's holding you back and begin to sow the gospel of peace? Begin to sow the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we're doing that at VFN, Vine Fellowship Network. It's vfnfamily.org. If you want to find out something about it, you can be trained, you can be discipled, you can be launched out, you can be connected and rightly related. I mean, you can stay where you are and begin to grow right where you're at. It's amazing. You know, if the kingdom of God is within you, and this is just so exciting. You want to be a part of that. What's wrong in America? We're not hungry. We've fallen into sin. We got to repent. We got to rise up. We got to get hungry. We got to know that God is the only answer. All these other things that are happening that are distracting, they're just demonic distractions trying to keep us out of the ultimate goal of preaching the kingdom of God to all, and then the end will come. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's coming back, you know?
That's right.
You know, you can be either gather, you're either a gatherer or a scatterer. He says, if you're not gathering, then you're scattering. You know, you got to be a gatherer. You got to work in going out and winning the lost. God's called us. And listen, you can be a lengthener or a strengthener. You can be part of a team that's lengthening what is, or part of a team that is strengthening what is, but you're part of the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is not building a wing onto a building. It's actually telling another person about Jesus. We'll find out more about that at vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. We're just talking about, right before we went to break, the Second Amendment and how a recent poll by Pew Research found that 48% of gun owners own their guns for protection. Mm-hmm. 48%. And so that's a pretty big deal, and we're just glad to know that people are protecting themselves and just being aware of their constitutional right. But guys, I want to share, you know, I was thinking about this, that we only have one life. We talked about this in the beginning of the first hour, but we only have one life.
Yeah.
God doesn't give us five or six or seven. You know, we don't come back, you know, into a cow or anything like that. We only have one life on earth, just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what David, King David, wrote in the Psalm 39:4. And you could hear his heart cry in this psalm. He says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You made my days a handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is a breath, even those who seem secure. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. I mean, it's sobering to consider one's life. It's a sobering thing, yeah. You know, to think and to pause and to think about, okay, my life here. And many, I believe, are living aimlessly. They're tossed, you know, back and forth by every, you know, wind, everything that's going on, without any true sense of purpose or direction. I mean, just look at it. Content. Mm-hmm. Content to watch reality TV instead of living a true reality, instead of living a life filled with purposeful aim reality.
Right.
And they're just living for the moment. Just living for the moment. Even there's a phrase that's been out here for a little while that people have been saying. It's called YOLO. And it stands for you only live once. YOLO. Meaning do whatever you want to do and give no concern about the consequences. Just go for it. Mm-hmm. Just go for it. You only live once. The problem with that is that, yeah, you're right. You only live once, but the consequences of wrong living mm-hmm. will affect you for eternity. Yeah, you're right. You only live once. So it's not do anything and throw off any kind of concerns or restraint and just live recklessly because you only live once. But it's just the complete opposite because you only live once.
That's right.
Because your feet only touch this soil once. What you do with your life will not only have tremendous significance for yourself, for your family, but for all eternity. I'm talking about eternity here. So many times we look back at history, we look at people's lives, and you look back and you see someone that's blessed, and you look back and then they start talking about, well, you know, my grandfather and my great-grandfather, and they did this, and you saw that somebody's life counted. They made their life count. How many immigrants have come across to this country with nothing, with zero, nothing? Mm-hmm. And because they got to work, they believed in the dream, they had a vision, they just worked hard, they started to do something, they started to create something, and now you see businesses in your own community that say 50 years in running, since 1906, since 1855, since whatever, this thing has been going on, and it's because somebody recognized that they only lived once. And we got to recognize it as believers that we're only passing through, that we're not serving just our generation, but we're serving the generation that is to come, right?
That's right.
But a person that truly gets this, they understand this. They really understand, too, that there are eternal consequences to how we live. I mean, our decision, the greatest decisions that we'll ever make concerning our, you know, in our life, our greatest decision is what are we going to do with this amazing man, Jesus? What are we going to do with him? Is he going to be the Lord of our life? And what we do with that one decision will affect all eternity, and how we live our life mm-hmm. will affect all eternity. Proverbs says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And I just think about this, guys. How many times do people sit back and evaluate what they're doing? They evaluate their life. They evaluate their impact. They evaluate why they're working at their job, why they're living in a certain place, why do they keep certain friends and acquaintances and run in certain circles? Why? Why? Like Missy Edwards says, what's the point?
Yeah, right.
Why? And it's been my experience that many people are not in tune with reality when it comes to life. Just not in tune with it. I mean, most feel that they're going to live a very, very long life.
Yeah.
And are shocked when someone's life is cut short. I mean, just shocked. But where I want to know, I mean, just let me know, Is every single person promised a long life? I didn't get that memo. I mean, forward it to me.
Nope.
But think about it. Who's we don't know. We don't know what life holds. Or they live with the idea that I'm not going to get sick. I don't believe sickness is of God. I don't, you know, claim. I don't want to receive any of them. And I believe in divine health. I believe in divine healing.
Right.
But people in this world do get sick, and they're shocked. And what's more shocking is that they don't, they weren't prepared for it. Like, they're now they begin to live. You know what I mean? Like, they give no thought of all the things that could happen that could dramatically alter their life. And why does it take having a disease, a life-ending disease? Why does it take a cancer? Why does it take something that's going to shut your life down for someone to grasp and say, oh my goodness, I only have one life, and now I'm going to live it. I'm going to do a bucket list. I'm going to do this. Wait a minute. Why did something tragic have to wake us up? And at that particular point, if it happens later in your life and you've been just cruising through, you realize of all the wasted years, all the wasted time, all the frivolous things that were done with no eternal significant value for Jesus. And God has put us on this earth. If you're a Christian today, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, God has called you to bear fruit, and much fruit that will last. He's going to inspect it. We got to have fruit for him. And the question is, what are we going to have when we see him? We're going to see him face to face. I don't want to come, you know, he's going to reward us. I always say, I want a good crown. I don't want a Burger King crown. I want a real crown.
Not the real deal.
I want the real deal because I want to lay something at his feet. I don't want the tan, you know, can you imagine some people can get a tan crown, a bronze crown, gold. And I believe this, you know, this is going to be a Burger King crown for somebody. You know, it's like, and when you get your crown, when you get your reward, you're going to hold it. And you're gonna, the only thing you can do is just cast it at his feet and say, I'm not even worthy of this. I'm not even worthy of this. And I don't want to pull a Burger King crown off my head and say, here you go, Lord. I want to have something to give him because I believe I'm going to see him face to face. And that's your hope if you know him as your Lord and Savior. But I wanted to challenge us to number our days, to recognize that we have this one life, and what you do with this one life matters. You can make a change today. Don't be sick. Don't wait for something to happen. Don't wait for something to happen, but allow yourself to be awakened even now. Even now.
It's not a coincidence that you're sitting here listening to me. You've got one life to live. You've got one opportunity to let your light shine in darkness. One opportunity to explore what the power of God can do through a yielded vessel. This is it. Something within you can say, God, I want my life to count. God, I do not want to waste my life. People who do not know the Lord ask us, why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries? So they fail to recognize that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they'll have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years, the lives that they have wasted. Methodist preacher W. E. Sangster said, how should I feel at the judgment? If multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review, and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride. Come on. What stop? Is it fear of man, fear of failure, just a history of spiritual apathy, is it the inability to get out of a rut? What's stopping you? If your life is right with him, look in the mirror and say, God is with me. God is in me. I want my life to count. You say, what do? Go after him. Seek his face. Cry out. Shut off the TV. Turn off the computer. Put away the unnecessary distractions. Cancel some of the unnecessary appointments. Go after God. Seek his face. Pour through his word. Read things. Listen to things that stimulate you, charge you, and then walk in the light you have.
That was so powerful. That was Dr. Brown charging us And I'm charging you today. I mean, what would happen if you woke up? What would happen if you were really, really awake? What would happen if you gave Jesus your whole life and held nothing back? Think about the possibilities. Think about it. What would happen if you let go of your fears and went after Jesus with everything you had, with every bit of viper? What would happen if you truly sold your life for Jesus and for the gospel? Mm-hmm. I mean, John 12:24 says, "Verily, truly, I say to you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." I mean, the sowing of your life can turn an entire people. Don't let nothing get in your way of giving Jesus everything. Refuse to watch others go after God and be used by God. Make your life count. Live with eternity stamped on your mind. That's what Leonard Ravenhill said. Live with eternity stamped on your mind. And I love what Jim Elliot said. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Give it all for Jesus, the one life that you have.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.